The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Chapter 10, verse 46. By the way, we have not, but we're there in Mark what? Verse what? Mark 10. If you'll stand, please, and look, if you're hurting like I am, stand if you want. If you don't, that's cool. Verse 46. Now they come to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great multitude. So here we catch a picture. They went to Jericho, and then they were kind of going out of Jericho, and all this multitude and disciples were following him. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. So as they're going out of Jericho, here we have this beggar sitting by this roadside begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet. Just like today, many warns us to be quiet when we say the name of Jesus. Amen? But we are not going to be quiet. Amen? We're not going to be quiet to say the name of Jesus. Just like our blind man here. And so he wasn't quiet. "Have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still, wow, the son stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you," and throwing aside his garment, and we're going to look at that in the original, how he threw that garment away, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni," which is teacher, we know that, "that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Father, we ask God in the name of Jesus and by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would, Lord, interpret this stuff to us, individually and corporately. God, that you would teach no other man. God, that your word would go forth and your Holy Spirit would then decipher it, that God, that we might be more like your son. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 40, I've decided to title my message, "Open Our Eyes, Lord." I told Greg, like 12 o'clock last night, "Greg, can you change the last song to Open My Eyes, Lord? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." He goes, Pastor, you know what you're saying? You know? So I told him, well, actually, that's kind of a slow song at the end. So maybe we'll just, whatever you want to do, Greg. Thanks for waking me up with that bit of news, Pastor. Click. So, open our eyes, Lord. Wow. Our spiritual eyes. The story of Bartimaeus. We were at a, Friday, we're at, someone had asked me, my doctor had asked me, "Hey, why don't you come to a luncheon we have every Friday?" I said, "Okay, who's we?" He goes, "Well, there'll be some pastors there and people that really go deep into the Word and all that." I go, "Okay, that's cool. I'll go." So I took Marty. And so Marty and Mike, but Mike was a Duke, so I took Marty and we're all three of us will be trying to hit that Bible study. But anyway, me and Marty went, and I was kind of talking about Bartimaeus, and Marty said, "Hey, he's blind. Hey, he needs Jesus. Hey, why don't you call him Marty Maeus?" I said, "No, Marty, I can't do that." So this morning I told him I wasn't going to say that, but I said it anyway. I love you, Mart. But here we see in our story that there's this man that desperately needed a healing. Desperately. Historians tell us therein, concerning 46, verse 46, that at this time Jericho was the most trafficked intersection in the whole world due to a couple things for you historians. Commerce was one, travel another, and most prevalently, it was the movement of the Roman troops during that day. They went through Jericho, between Europe to the north and Africa to the south, passed through Jericho. Now, I've been to Jericho. It's just a very small town now. But there's still, in that town, a residue of Israeli troops. And they've got some big stuff there. I don't know exactly. I heard there were some munitions there that was pretty heavy. So it's still sort of a fortified city with the munitions they have there. It has been rightly said, though, in this story, that there are three basic categories of people. I believe this with all my heart. When I first kind of thought about this, I thought, well, you know, it's not mine that I've just come across in my reading. And the more I think about it, the more I think it's true. Three categories of people. It should come up on the board. This is a life lesson. Those who make things happen. The shakers and makers. Those that make things happen. Those who watch things happen. Like, when you go to a football game, you're not doing a thing, you're just watching. Those who watch things happen. And then you got those who wonder what happened. You don't want to be the guy. I've raised a couple kids like that, you know. It's like, oh, what's going on? What's happening? And so, those are three categories that you might fall into. Well, Bartimaeus, I believe, would fit into the third category. Why? Well, isn't it obvious? No doubt he would hear the creaking of the wagon wheels being pulled by snorting or heavy breathing oxen. He would also hear the shuffle of sandals on rocky roads and the sounds of camels and the conversations of people going by every time he would sit and listen. Well, he sat still on the roadside. Maybe this morning, I'm not sure, but just maybe you can identify with this man. Maybe you feel like all around you things are happening. People are moving. Times are changing. But you, you're just sitting. Nothing really going on in your life. Wondering and begging, God, what is going on? Are you even out there? Are you real? You're just sitting, not doing much, watching TV, one-eyed demon, routine. I don't know. So Bartimaeus sat by the side of the road because he was blind and he didn't know what was happening. But what was the reason? First of all, why was he blind? Well, I looked into it a bit, and one reason people think perhaps he was blind due to vitamin deficiencies. And it was common in that day. It was a hard time during those days, folks. Greg and I was talking about, you know, 7/8 of your time during the day was trying to find food just to feed yourself, let alone scratching some kind of a resemblance of a life out from the earth. And so it very well could be a vitamin deficiency common, as I said, in that day. But it is more likely, when you look at the name Bartimaeus, more likely that his blindness was a result of a heredity issue. Why would I say that? Well, you see, gang, Bartimaeus literally means son of the unclean one. Interesting. Son of the unclean one. So it is very, very possible that Bartimaeus was so named because his mother or father passed on a disease that produced blindness in their son. Makes sense. In those days, and sometimes even now, but mostly in those days, you were named what you were, or what you are, so to speak. Bakers, military, so forth and so on. Interesting. Well, 47 and 48. And when he heard that it was Jesus in Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, we read it. Check this out. This gives us, 47 and 48, gives us a hidden Similarities. There's hidden similarities. Of what? Well, the Old Testament Joshua, you remember that guy in the Old Testament, remember? He came after Moses and all, he Moses gave him and God gave him the reins, and he was General Joshua. And there was going into the promised land there at the Jordan. If you guys, actually, come on Wednesday night, you'll get it, right? On the Old Testament. But he comes to the edge there of Jordan, and he decides to cross. And he goes, and he's the general now. He's kind of like the king, but he's not called a king. He's just a general, because they fight the wars to clean the land out of the heathen tribes, that God, the land that God has given them. And by the way, I don't care what the United Nations says or anybody else. God gave the Israelites that land, and that's the end of it. Period. That's their land. We just need to just give them all the, everything they need. Just get, help them out in that, and just leave them alone. God can take care of that nation. I guarantee you. And I think we'll see very soon how good he can take care of that nation. But we'll have probably a good seat in heaven looking down while all this is going on. That's how close I think God is to bringing us home. At any rate, this similarity of Joshua and Jesus, it's what Bible scholars call prophetic foreshadowing. Do you get that? Prophetic foreshadowing. You look at Joshua and you go, oh, okay, well, there's a lot of similarities to Jesus with Joshua. So Bartimaeus heard that Jesus had come to Jericho. Now, before we move on, let's understand, before we get into these similarities, the name Jesus is the Greek transliteration, big word, which means it's translated, of the Jewish name Joshua. And so when Jesus was hanging out all around, Judea and Jerusalem, and people would go, hey, Jesus, they really weren't saying, hey, Jesus. They go, hey, Joshua. His name was Joshua. And so another thing is, it's interesting, it was foretold that this Savior was coming, and his name was going to be Joshua. So guess what? All the women in that day were naming their kids Joshua. It was a common name, so everyone was like, Joshua, Joshua. So when Jesus came on the scene, his name was Joshua. It was so Joshua, who came to Jericho that day, Joshua was his name. If you had been with us again on Wednesday nights, you know that thousands of years ago previously, and another Joshua had come to the city of Jericho. You remember that, right? Remember they walked around Jericho? Your kids know this. You walk around Jericho. It was the first fortress that Joshua and the Israelites came to after they crossed over the Jordan. Not for salvation, though. No, destruction. Because it was his job to bring the people of God into the promised land. And there's a lot of fighting. A lot of destruction, of course, found in the book of Joshua. And here, standing before Bartimaeus, was another Joshua, whose job it was to bring the people of God into the land of promise. But not physically. But this time, eternally. Spiritually. To bring mankind to heaven. And so you see the similarities. It's just awesome. Now, recorded in the book of Joshua, another similarity, another foreshadowing. As the feet of the priests and Levites touched the water, the Bible tells us, the Jordan River parted. You guys remember that? If you read that, it's just awesome. And after it departed, then he became that warrior that crossed over on dry land to the land of promise. The first conquest, of course, was Jericho. And he began his ministry, General Joshua. Jesus also began his ministry in the Jordan River when he was baptized at the age of 30. Amen? You guys getting this? Do we need to like turn on the freezer so you can wake up a bit? But the water didn't part when he went to the Jordan. You remember what happened when he went to the Jordan? Anyone? You can speak out. It's okay. You'll be on TV. Well, of course, I think we all know this. He was baptized. He's baptized at the age of 30. But the water didn't part, no. Instead, the heavens opened The Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended. And the Father said what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he started his ministry. You see, if you ever get into, I know some people go, oh, the Old Testament, it's old and dusty and got cobwebs on. No. If you open up the New Testament, everything in the Old Testament, everything points to Jesus. Amen? Everything. The temple. Things like this that we're speaking about. And so as you look at the Old Testament, it really, really opens up the New Testament, a prophecy. It's just a really cool thing if you just, the knowledge of God's plan, it helps us to understand. From the very beginning, from Genesis until Revelation, God's plan, very simply, to come and save humanity by dying, giving his life for us. Another eye-opening tidbit is that Joshua's ministry was preceded by Moses. Remember, I just told you, Moses, he dies, Joshua goes in to the promised land, who prepared the people in the wilderness. And he, Moses, gave them what? Do you remember? The law. However, Jesus' ministry was preceded by another prophet in the wilderness named who? John Baptist, who preached repentance, not law. Big difference there. Seen in Mark 1:15. Many of you know the story. After circling the city there, Joshua told the people to shout, and the walls came down. Amen? If you don't know that story, you need to go back with Wayne. Now, when Jesus came into the city, Bartimaeus was told not to shout. Remember? Shh, be quiet. But to keep quiet, of course. But he would soon stand up and shout all the more, wouldn't he? Absolutely. Verse 49, you remember that. We read it a little bit. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. So Jesus said, whoa, who is it? I'm reminded of another Joshua's greatest victory took place on the day that he commanded his son to stand still, announced in Joshua 10:12. Can you believe that? Wouldn't that be cool? God, could you please stop the sun for a second, because I really want to beat these guys up. It's going to take me a little bit longer than I thought, chase these Philistines down and take care of them. So could you just let the sun just stay there for a little bit? And God goes, okay, no problem. Well, I have a whole, Don, he gave me a thing about, I think it was Don, but it might have been one of you other guys. It gave me a thing about the time, how NASA, that whole thing with they couldn't figure out a couple hours, and it was when the sun stopped in Joshua's day. Anyway, that was a big deal there, miraculous. And so, too, Bartimaeus' life would miraculously change the day that the sun stood still. The S-O-N would stand still. Please listen, guys, to God's heart. It's important. You who are sitting by the highway of life saying, I'm blind. I don't get it. I'm not seeing any prosperity in my life. I'm not seeing anything proper. I'm not going anywhere. Does Jesus care about me? Or is he just passing me quickly by? Take hope, my friends. Take hope. Because Bartimaeus cried out. And guess what? The S-O-N stood still. He stood still. Isn't that awesome? Let's just think about that. Greg, write a song about that. The day that God stood still. We know there's a song, The Day God Ran. The day that the sun stood still. It just warms my heart. Well, why? Why did Jesus stop? Him knowing everything. Why did he stand still that day for Bartimaeus? Well, I suggest three reasons, and if you're a note taker, you can jot these three reasons down, because I did. Because I made him a life lesson. Number one reason is because Bartimaeus cried out in humility. Yes, he did. Gang, all too often we say, poor me, life isn't fair. And look, I'm the stinker. Don't talk to my wife when I start my pity parties. She'll tell you about it because she's pretty truthful. Sometimes too truthful. You know, you've been there. Amen. Why me, Lord? It isn't fair, God. Why do bad things always happen to me? And by the way, we always use, when we're in that mode, absolutes. You don't, please use absolutes when it comes to God, because He is absolute. They'll go always or never or ever. This is not true. Humility, on the other hand, says, I'm a sinner. I actually deserve nothing but judgment. But Lord, I thank you for your mercy. And gang, such is a voice the Lord hears most clearly. You know why that is? He hates pride. He's always hated pride. That's the original sin from Satan, the worship leader in heaven, Lucifer. He hates pride. And that's how the enemy in the world gets us, through pride. It seems like everything is pride. Everything. And guys, I think that we're stinkers the most when it comes to pride. This pride. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. He resists the prideful. In the original language, it gives an undeniable understanding that the second reason that Jesus stood still, Bartimaeus cried out tenaciously. See, when you look at that in the original language, it wasn't, help me, Lord. I can't pronounce, or I can't get as loud as this dude did. It was tenaciously. You know what that word means? It was over the top. It was crazy. That's why these guys said, hey, man, chill out. He rose above all other voices, tenaciously, with a grit in his loins. This is from way down under. Keep quiet, though, the crowd said. It's amazing to me how often, even in Christendom, that means in the Christian world, well-meaning people, even pastors and ministers, try to get us to quiet down. I ain't quieting down. I don't care, folks. Right in the middle of my study time last night, an AT&T lady called me. My phone broke, and so I got another one. My daughter, when she got the phone for me, she said, Dad, we're getting insurance on you. You're going to break this phone. I just know you are. So she did, and I didn't break it, but it just kind of broke on its own, and I can't hear anybody in it. And could be my ear, you know, my hearing. But anyway, I get another phone. She calls me. Did you get your phone, sir? Yes, I did. Thank you so much. I get to talking with her. Man, I got her talking Jesus. She said, you know, is this being recorded? I said, praise God. And I started talking about her kids and about iPhones and how your kids, and that we just need Jesus, man. We got all this technology, but man, what we need is Jesus. And I prayed with her before she got the phone. And it was almost like, you know, she was calling me Pastor Ben when she got, she was PB. She was calling me PB when she, okay, PB. I can't stand it. I don't know what's happened to me. My wife, like, very seldom likes to go to any grocery stores with me, because you know why. Greg, he's a shaker and a mover. He likes to get there and get home and get things done. When we even drive through to get coffee, he hates it. Because I tell the, you know, I'm talking, he's like, Benny, we got to go. I go, no, we're going to sit here and talk to this girl about Jesus. It's just something I do. I know it affects everyone differently. And everyone's got a different way to telling people about our Lord. But we need to put our pride down. We need to start telling people and changing this whole thing about speaking about God. We just do. They try to silence this guy. They tried to tell him to be quiet, not to say the name of Jesus. Man, the name of Jesus affects more people in this world than any other name. They either get crazy on you, or they listen. And there is no in between. Either you're proud and you want to say the name of Jesus, or not. And I'm not to say anything about salvation. No, that's God's deal. God says, just believe in me. But we, you know, sometime in our life need to understand it's time to tell somebody about our Lord. Somebody. Well, they said, keep quiet. Don't bother the Lord. Just accept your blindness. Accept your confusion. Accept that you just don't have a clue about anything. Accept your pride. Accept the fact that you don't know what's happened in their life. Bartimaeus, however, kept crying out with humility. Yes, with humility, but also with tenacity. And I'd love to have been there to hear that. Well, if you're taking notes, verses 49 and 50 tells us, and we read it, the third reason our Lord stood still was that Bartimaeus cried out expectantly. You know what that word means? Faith. Expectantly. Just had faith. But Jesus said, you have faith. Your faith has healed you. Because when Jesus called him, he left his garment behind. Remember? He threw it. Here, let's look at this real quick. He said, throwing aside his garment. That throwing aside his garment is really doesn't speak like it was written in the original language. He took that baby and he took it off and he threw it down to the ground. He was done. Well, why would he take his coat off and do such a thing? Interesting why you would ask me that. You see, please understand, the garment beggars wore in that day, and that day was especially striped in a special way in order that people would know that the wearer was legitimately begging, that he had no other means of financial support. Unlike, it was a neon sign. Unlike those dudes in Florida that make like, you know, $70,000 a year for begging. You've heard of those guys, right? They drive their Z28s and they hide it and they go to work. They put their work clothes on, which is begging clothes. And then they go at these and they beg for money and they make a lot of money. Not those guys. This guy was legit. And just the fact that he had this special coat is a neon sign. Therefore, in throwing his garment down, Bartimaeus was saying, I know Jesus will heal me. I've got faith. I'm done with this kind of stuff. Can we do that? You take that coat of pride off and stow it down and say, I'm done with this, man. I'm done with this. I'm over this. I'm not wearing this anymore. He showed his faith. He truly did. He said, Jesus is going to heal me. He's going to do something to me. And truly, without faith, it's impossible to please God, isn't it? That's what the writer of Hebrews tells us. Because, gang, it is faith that sees the invisible, believes the impossible, and receives the incredible. Let that thing sink in just a bit. It sees the invisible. Some of us can't even bring our minds to think about the invisible. Believes the impossible, receives the incredible. Paul says something about, don't look at the seen things in this earth, but the unseen things. Live for those, man. You continue to live for the seen things, the things you can see, the seen things, the normal things. But if that's not it, man, we need to live for the unseen things. When you stop and talk to somebody about the Lord, and maybe they even come to the Lord because it's a low hanging fruit, and just they're and you just do that, and you go home, and you don't even tell your wife, you just continue on, and you just. Man, unseen stuff that you do for the kingdom. When you give that buck or two to somebody or a lot of bucks to a ministry, and you just don't tell anyone, you just go on about your business, and it doesn't even bother you to not tell someone. I'm a pretty prideful person many times. The most blessing I ever had was when I was young in the faith. I think I was a deacon. No, I was an elder. But just become one. We were living in South Florida, and I told my wife I wanted these Timberline shoes. And they were really bad-looking shoes, man. They were boots, you know, just awesome. Seal lining and all that kind of stuff. So she got them for me. Oh, yeah. Couldn't wear them. Couldn't wait to wear them to church. So I wore them to church Wednesday night. After Wednesday night, Fidel had left, and Mary Ann, which is the secretary, said, "Hey, Ben, there's a guy in here he wants to talk to you." So I was talking to him. He just got out of jail. And by the way, I've lost the blessings on this many times, so that's okay. So anyway, I'm sitting there talking with him, and he was living in the electric room behind our church. There's a little electric room there, and he was just living in there. And he's sitting there, he goes, "Hey, excuse me, can I just come pull these boots off?" I said, "Sure." So he pulled these boots off. They were like six sizes too big for him. He got him in jail. He pulls them off, no socks. And his feet stunk so bad, I almost regurgitated. Seriously. And he had big blisters. And I looked down at his boots. And I looked over at my shoes. I looked over his boots. I looked down at my shoes. And then inside, I said, "No, God!" I'm just telling you. Had a little riff with him, you know. No, he kept talking to me. I kept smelling him. You know. "No, God, please. I just don't want these for so long." Remember, honey? Yeah. Okay. Now, I didn't get no reward on that because I took them off, gave them to him, and he put them on. He couldn't believe it, you know. And he took off. So I'm walking out to the car barefoot because I'm not putting his boots on. And I'm walking out to the car barefoot. I gave my socks as well. And so I'm walking out barefoot, and I'm walking to my car, and Mary Ann comes out and locks the door. "Pastor Ben, where in the world are your shoes?" "Don't ask." "No, what's going on? You gave them to..." I said, "Mary Ann, don't you tell a soul, please. Because you know what the word says about all that." "No, I won't." She started laughing. She thought that was the funniest thing she ever... I said, "Look, Mary Ann, I'm a prideful man. I fought with God. I'm still mad at him. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get some boots like that again." I talked to my wife. So years went on. No one really knew about it. And then I started teaching and become a pastor and decide, well, I got enough reward for that. I'm going to tell people about it. But that's how God works in your heart, man. And sometimes we don't even want him to work. We don't, like I said, I didn't want God to tell me that. I had a little debate with him, you know? And how in the world do you debate with God? You don't. You just don't. You just obey. It's time that we quit debating with God and we start telling people about this nugget, gold, whatever, the most important thing in all the universe, Jesus the Christ. We need to. This man, quiet down. Accept your confusion. Accept the fact that you don't know anything. Accept it. But he had tenacity. Third reason, if you're taking notes, we need to get out of here. Our Lord stood still. Was that Barnabas cried out expectantly. And I already said that, I know, so don't think I'm like lost it, okay? I'm just going over some stuff here. Because when Jesus called him, remember, he threw that garment away. We need to throw our garments away. We need to throw those things away. We need to throw them away. I don't think I've hit that hard enough. We just need to get rid of it. Get rid of it. Whatever it is. Whatever that coat you've been wearing, Shed it. Believe the impossible. Believe Jesus. Know if you just take a step of faith, he's there to meet you. 51:52. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want from me? Or what do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, teacher, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, of course, he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Bartimaeus was changed, notice, in a twinkling of an eye. Have you heard that somewhere before? Maybe in Thessalonians? That we are changed in a twinkling of an eye. I believe that happens when we receive the Lord. When Jesus comes into our heart, we're changed in a twinkling of an eye. But we don't see it, maybe. I mean, maybe we feel it. Maybe God sees it, though, doesn't he? He sees the finished product. Because now that Jesus is in us, he sees Jesus in us, and that's it. Christ hidden in us, Colossians tells us. And so when God the Father looks, he goes, oh, it's perfect. And your wife or husband says, are you kidding me? Are you looking at this guy, right? But no, our Father says we're perfect because he sees us in the end result. That we are perfect. And we are changed in a twinkling of an eye. We're also changed physically, spiritually, in a twinkling of an eye when the rapture comes. Twinkling of an eye. Just as we all that love Jesus will be one day going to heaven. It is no wonder why he followed the one who had opened his eyes and given him life. He was changed in a twinkling of an eye. So gang, may today be the day that you do what Bartimaeus did. Well, what was that, you may ask? Gang, may today be the day you receive the direction, instruction, and revelation of the Holy Spirit that you need to change. To change. Pedal to the metal. Let's get special forces on people. Speaking to them about Jesus, love and truth. Now, don't get a bullhorn and come up to them and tell them they're going to hell. Okay, that don't work so good. But see, in order to do that, you've got to get personal. You got to put your pride down, and you have to get personal. You have to get to know a person a bit. When I first talked to this lady last night, she didn't know me from Adam. But when by the time we got done, about 10 minutes, she also said, this is the longest phone call I've ever had. Personal. Can you do that? Can you get personal with someone? You get to know them? And then when you look into their eyes and you genuinely tell them, I love you, man, and I don't want to see you burn. I want to see you have a better life here on earth and then go to heaven. And when they look into your eyes and they know that you're sincere and your pride is in the ditch somewhere, but you're pouring your heart out into them, they will listen. Upon the power of the Holy Spirit, they will change. And so today might be the day that you receive direction, instruction, and revelation that you need to do these things. May you cry out until Jesus stops in front of you. May you cry out until the Son stands still and gives you everything that you need to accomplish His will in your life. Not your will, but His will. And I guarantee you, until we get to heaven, everything is His will. We got our will, and then there's God's will. Sometimes it lines up, but we have to put the pride in the bucket and set it afire. And may you join Bartimaeus in following him afresh and anew. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord, for today.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.